We're continuing our study on walking through fire. Again, I remind you, we're talking about the trials, the sufferings, the difficulties, the hurts, the hardships of the Christian life. It's not an easy life. Because you got saved doesn't mean everything's hunky-dory. On the contrary, because you got saved, there's opposition. And so Peter writes, in an effort to help believers who are going through trials and tribulations and difficulties, to keep their focus. Tonight we're going to look at verses 5 through 12. 5 through 12, I'm going to read those, follow along with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Peter writes, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." And let's pray. Father, bless our time once again as we're going to look to this passage and these truths. And Lord, as we think about the fact that we do go through the trials and the tribulations, might what we see here tonight help us and encourage us and strengthen us in our time of need. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, too often when we encounter trials and difficulties, things of that nature, one of our first thoughts is, God must be angry at me. Well, Peter wants us to understand that God, in His love, desires to make us better rather than bitter. And He does that through the tests of life. And we need to understand that process. We need to understand what's going on in my life. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Tonight our subject is an awesome power. An awesome power. And Peter reveals that there. And boy, in verse 5 he says, "Who are kept by the power of God." Listen. As a believer, what you have in you or who you have in you is greater than anything that's around you. The bigger your God, the smaller your problems. The smaller your God, the bigger your problems. See, we are going to come to the end of ourselves, the end of our resources humanly every day. We face things every day that in our own humanity, in our own power, we cannot handle. That's why we need the Lord. See, while we face things that we cannot handle, there is nothing we can face that He cannot handle. God's power, God's ability is unlimited. We need to get a hold of that. I said something Sunday about, you know, how big is your God? You have a big God? Or do you just have a little God? And we need to live by that. Remember back in Genesis, when God was telling Abraham he was going to have a son. And Abraham, you know. And the response was, is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Over in Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I saw a picture on a computer today of Mercury. The planet Mercury. And there was a little thing on there and it said, this is the most close-up picture that we've ever had of Mercury. I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, God made that. He just spoke and this wonderful planet that's out there came into existence. But see, it wasn't just Mercury. It was every planet, every star. Our God spoke and it happened. That's the power of the God we have. But too often we don't live like that's the power of the God that we have. Now, sometimes we wonder, why does God bring us to the end of ourselves before He steps in and takes over and lets His power be known unto us? Have you ever noticed that? It seems like we're at the very precipice, we're at the very end, this is it. And that's when God says, okay, now I'll do it. Huh? You ever been there? I mean, you've been praying, you've been begging, and you know, Henry, the deadline's coming. God, you got to do something. And when we get to that deadline, when there's no more for us to do, then God says, now, I'll do it. Well, why do you think He's that way? Because He just wants to tease us. Huh? Oh, He just wants to frustrate us. No, He does that because when that happens, then He's sure to get the glory. See, when we're down to the wire and we've done everything we can do and we're at the end of ourselves. Remember Sunday I talked about the fellas out in the boat and they're sinking. There's no more they can do. They've bailed, they've rowed, they've done everything. And now what do they have to do? They go to Jesus. And what they could not handle when they came to the end of themselves and said, we're going to sink, and went to Him, now He comes and He says, peace, be still, everything's okay. Listen, God don't want to share His glory. God's not going to share His glory. It says over in Isaiah 42, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. See, God often allows us to come to the end of ourselves. So there's no question who's going to receive the glory. So let's look at a couple of things here. Number one, the possibility of rejoicing in trials. The possibility of rejoicing in trials. Now, rejoicing when we get into trials and difficult places is not humanly possible. Say amen. Okay, when you get in a hard place, you know, there's more month than there is money. You just came from the doctor and he said things don't look good. When things are bad, we don't skip along and say, oh, what a wonderful day, I'm sick. What a wonderful day, I can't afford to pay my bills. No. See, that's not the way the human part of us works. Nobody likes disappointment. Nobody likes difficulty. Nobody likes demotion. Nobody likes deficiency. We need to look to one who is greater than we are when we're in those situations. See, we might not understand what or how or why of our situation, but we can always be confident in the who of our situation. God is always aware of where we are and what's going on. Now, we're content in God's defense. Peter says there in verse 5, who are kept. I like that word kept. I've researched that word a little bit. It's garrisoned. It's put guard on, you know, made sure of. We are kept. We are garrisoned. We are protected by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Somebody said, trouble will always be present in the absence of trust. Children are always afraid when they're not sure if mom or dad is near. A child in the bed at night, crying, I'm scared. And mom or dad say, everything's okay, we're right here. Now that child can be calmed because he knows someone's near. Listen, we need not to let our trouble drive us to tears, but our troubles ought to drive us to trust. That's what God wants. To learn to call out to the Lord when we are in trouble so that he can encourage and strengthen us. I said he's always with us. He knows our circumstances. And you may not have figured this out yet, but wherever we are, he's allowed us to be in that place. Yeah. Wherever we are, he's allowed us to be in that place. God knows all about it. You didn't just stumble into that. He's allowed it to come into your life, and he wants to do something through it and by it. There's a purpose in it, and we need to trust in that. You know, we call out to the Lord in our times of trouble, and he can help us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He said, my life verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then they don't trust the Lord. Huh? See, that trust in the Lord, that's when things are going bad. It's easy to trust him when things are going good. Hey, everything's hunky-dory. I'm trusting the Lord. Hey, my world just fell apart, but I'm still trusting the Lord. With all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. I said we can't explain it or understand it many times. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Stay true to him. And he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 59 verse 9. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. I read, around Jerusalem there are mountains. And that's God's defense system for his city of Jerusalem. God's kind of protected that city. But the psalmist in Psalm 125 was kind of pondering that. And here's what he said. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, that's Jerusalem, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. You know, when I go to the hospital and visit folks, oftentimes I'll read out of the 34th Psalm. And I love that verse there. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that love him. And I encourage people to understand the angel of the Lord is encamped around you. Listen, he's our defense. He's our protector. He's our power. Notice also we're confident in God's deliverance. In verse 6, Peter says this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness, though through manifold temptations. He says you may be in trouble right now, but we can greatly rejoice because it's only temporary. You ever read in the Bible and it came to pass? I believe it was Lester Roloff who used to preach a message on that, and it came to pass. Listen, a lot of things in our life come and go. This too shall pass. Trials come in different sizes. Some are acute in nature. They come very quickly. They're difficult immediately. These are kind of those mountains that we have to go over, you know, where a trial comes and, boy, it just comes all of a sudden. Oh, we got to deal with it. No, we get on the other side of it. We're past that. And we rejoice. Thank the Lord. That one's done. But see, there are other trials that linger. We might call them chronic. Think in your own life, do you have any trials that seem to be chronic? I mean, you just can't seem to get over them, get through them. They just continue. Listen, that's the way some trials are going to be. Sometimes for days, months, years. But we got to remember this. Even the chronic trials are in reality temporary. Amen. What do you mean? None of them are going to last beyond this life. Huh? Listen, there are some trials and issues we could have in our life that we will never get resolved, we'll never get deliverance from in this life. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes medical issues of people, we have an ongoing illness list on our prayer list. A bunch of those people have things that doctors will never be able to cure. They'll spend the rest of their life just having to deal with it. But see, even those trials are going to end for those people. Because one day they're going to lead this life, and whatever that trial is done. We're going to a better place. Go over to Revelation 21 for just a minute. You there? Look at verse 4. It's talking about heaven. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Listen, friend, trials and tribulations are a real part of this life. Some of them we may have to carry the rest of our life, but all of them are going to end. Because one day we're leaving this world. Trials are for a while, but our hope is eternal. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, some precious verses. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you might be in a situation now where it's real hard to rejoice. But we can always rejoice about our future. We sang about heaven tonight. And I didn't tell Pastor Meyer where we're going to be or what we're going to be doing in the preaching. But we sang about heaven tonight. Listen, we need to focus on heaven. We need to rejoice in the fact that we're just pilgrims here. We're temporary here. We're just a passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm on my way home. Did you get that? I'm going home. But I got to go through here to get there. And we need to keep that in our hearts and in our minds. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be out of here. I was talking to Mike and Elizabeth. I mentioned this young man that died playing football the other night over here in New Jersey. That quick. We read about people all the time that auto accidents and crime and all kinds of things, and that quick they're gone. Listen, in the twinkling of an eye, you could be gone. That quick. But see, when we leave here, we're going to a much better place than we are here. We will be delivered from the trials and tribulations and difficulties of this life. So, it might be difficult to rejoice, but we need to. John tells us in 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure." Possibility of rejoicing in trials. Listen, we don't have to be pooch-mouthed and downhearted and all that. We have troubles, but we got better days coming. And then the purpose of refinement in trials. See, our trials and tribulations are really God at work in our life. Huh? You say, "Well, I wish he wouldn't work so hard on me." Amen. But really, our trials are God's very unique way of purging and purifying our lives that we could be more usable in his service. See, God could take away every trial we face. Do you believe that? Well, sure you do. You pray for it, don't you? When you're sick, don't you pray to get well? When you're broke, don't you pray to get some money? Huh? When you have a need, don't you take it to the Lord? Well, sure we do. And so we believe that he can deliver us from any trial we're going through. But here's the fact of it. Many times God allows us in the trial and tribulation because if he took it away, we would be the losers. You say, "Well, boy, I'd like to lose a little bit." But seriously, if he delivered us from the trial and tribulation, it would never accomplish in our life what needs to be accomplished, and we would be the losers. Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Listen, God's doing something in our lives through our trials and tribulations. He's purifying us. He's strengthening us. He's building us. He's dealing with us. I read about a fellow who was in a shop class in his high school. It was a metal shop, and they were given an assignment to do a project. They had to make something, metal. Well, this fellow decided to make a screwdriver. And so he drew it up. You know, they had to do the drawings and everything. He drew it all up and everything, and he made the handle, and then he made the blade. And now, when he made the blade of the screwdriver, he made it out of steel, and he was supposed to put it to the fire to harden it. Well, he knew if he put it to the fire, it was going to discolor the steel. It wouldn't be as pretty. Well, he wanted it to be pretty. So instead of putting it to the fire to temper it to nice and hard like it needed to be, he just put it to a little bit of fire, keep it pretty. So time for the grade, he took it to his shop teacher. Well, his teacher was watching. And his shop teacher looked at it and he said, "Now, did you temper this?" "Oh, yeah." Well, there was a bench there, and the teacher took that screwdriver and he stuck it in one of the screws on the leg of the bench. And he twisted that thing. And the blade of that screwdriver just twisted. You see, that blade needed to go through the fire in order to be what it needed to be. It didn't go through the fire, so it wasn't what it needed to be. Listen, we go through the fire. Why? God's trying to make us what we need to be. Sometimes he's trying to harden us. Sometimes he's trying to soften us. Sometimes he's trying to build us. Sometimes he's got to tear us down. But he's working. We need to understand that. Purpose of refinement. Now, the preciousness of trials. Look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, it's really a great day in our Christian life when we realize our God loves us so much, He wants to make us even better. Even if it means it's going to be difficult for us. How many of you are parents? Did you ever require your children to do tough things, to go through difficult things, because you knew it was what was best for them? I don't want to do homework. I hate homework. Get in there and do your homework. Now, why do you do that? You want to be mean. You don't want your kid to have any fun. You don't want him to get outside and play. No, because you know your child needs that. I don't want to study. I don't want to do this. I don't want to. And you make them do it anyway. Why? Because you know that's what they need. As unpleasant as it might be. Listen, our Father's the same way. He knows what we need. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. One man said this. This is a hard saying, but he said, one of the real secrets in life is to be thankful for the trials. How often do you thank God for your trials? Hey, I'm just as guilty as you. You know, I'll be honest, I haven't thanked God for the trial of another surgery. But obviously He's working through it. I don't know what He's doing. I don't know why He's doing it. But He knows where I am. And I have to trust that. See, here, listen. When we're in a trial and we become bitter, what we're doing is questioning the goodness of God. Did you get that? When I'm in a trial and I get angry and bitter at God over it, what I'm saying is, God, you're not good, you're not loving, you're not kind, you're not anything you say you are. That's a pretty rough accusation. Sounds like a spoiled brat to me. Think about the Apostle Paul. Remember, he said he prayed 3 times, Lord, to take away that thorn in the flesh. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. The purifying of trials. You got this chunk of gold. It's just raw. You want to purify it. So you put it to the heat. You put it in a vessel and you put some fire under it. Now listen, that fire does not destroy that gold. When you're done with the fire, you're still going to have gold. Would you agree with me? But what you're going to have is a more pure gold than you started with. But it only comes because you've applied the fire. Our trials and tribulations are God's fire that He uses to purify us. What happens when you heat that gold up? All the impurities come to the top. Now you can scrape them off. And they say when you get gold to be pure like you want it, you should be able to see yourself in it. If there's a bunch of on top, it's got to be removed. Then you have the pureness. Then you have what you're looking for. Listen, God allows these trials in our lives to purify us. You ever think about how many things we got to purify? Sometimes some foods we have to boil to kill bacteria. We got crude oil. You can't use crude oil until you refine it. Listen. I notice gasoline prices keep going. Where did I see today in Pennsylvania? $2.13. Now, let me chase a rabbit. Why is it 2 years ago we were paying almost $4 a gallon, and this year we're paying around $2 a gallon? Something's going on here. But anyway, listen, when that crude comes out of the ground, it's not really usable. People used to find that, and they despised it because all it was pitch. And what are you going to use that for? It ruined their land. But see, you take that and you refine that. And pretty soon you have a product where you can heat people's homes and you can run machinery and you can lubricate and you can do all these things. Why? It had to go through the refining process. John 15 and verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. It may bring forth more fruit. Timothy talks about, over in 2 Timothy, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, or clay, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He says, hey, in a great house there are different vessels. Some are gold and silver and really valuable. Some are clay and earth and wooden, not so valuable. He says, some of them are to honor, some to dishonor. And then he says this, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, M-E-E-T, suitable for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Listen, God wants some clean vessels. And sometimes he has to send things into our life that bring impurities to the surface so we can cleanse them from our lives. How many of you would like to go to the buffet? Come on, be honest. The buffet. Ah, Golden Corral. Woo! I'm going to Golden Corral, and I go in there, and I say, I'm going to get me some of this grub. Boy, it's all over the place. Look at it all. So I go over, and I reach for a plate. It's dirty. You think I'm going to use that plate? Not on your life. I'd rather go hungry. I'm serious. Listen, God has work to do, and God's looking for some vessels he can use, but he's looking for some clean vessels. Some vessels that have gone through the trial and they've realized this needs to go in my life. This needs to go in my life. This needs to be put into my life. A vessel unto honor, fit for his use. Listen, a lot of God's work is not getting done today, and it's because God's vessels don't want to get purified to where God can use them. Go home and feast on that for a little while, will you? Just ponder that in your mind a little while tonight. Well, then we see the praise of trials. Verse 7, he says, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen, we talked about we're going to leave this world, we're going to go to heaven. When we do, and we stand before the Lord, we want to be everything he wanted us to be. That fellow was talking about heaven on the way in here, and he was bringing this fact out. The only thing that's really going to matter when this life is over is whether or not we brought praise to God with our lives. It's not going to matter how much money we had. It's not going to matter how many accolades or how many businesses we built or how many touchdowns we scored or any nothing. None of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is, how did you glorify God with your life? And by the way, we're all going to stand there. We're all going to give an account. Number three, the promise of receiving in trials. We often view a trial as God really taking something from us. But in reality, the trial is going to add much more to our lives than it takes away. You can find a lot of people who will testify, I went through this trial, I went through this difficult time. Oh, it was horrible, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me spiritually. Because it drew me closer to the Lord and helped me to clean up some things in my life and brought some things to the surface and it revolutionized my Christian life. Listen, God never does anything to us that's going to be grievous or hurtful to us. The potter, he's the potter, we're the clay. And he applies that pressure where it's needed so we can be what he wants us to be. Promise of receiving in trials, a growing love. He talks there about loving the Lord, whom having not seen, ye love. Anybody in here seen Jesus? I'm glad nobody raised their hand. I forget, I think it was Oral Roberts who said he saw a 900-foot tall Jesus. And I thought, that boy ate too much pizza before he went to bed. We've never seen him. I know he's alive. How do I know? I talk to him all the time. He talks to me. But I've never seen him. Peter says that though we've never seen him, we love him. Kind of an interesting statement. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, it's a shame how we ignore God when things are going well. When we get in trouble, it has a tendency to draw us closer. You ever think about this? You ever think about Jonah? You know, Jonah didn't have much of a prayer life until he found himself in a whale's belly. All of a sudden, he got pretty close to God, didn't he? The fact is this. All too often, we're guilty of ignoring God until we get into trouble. Don't you think our Father knows that? So he understands, you know, I kind of got to get this kid's attention. It's the only way he's going to pay any attention to me. Sometimes we're frustrated. We don't love the Lord like we should. And we wonder why. Why is my commitment so shallow? My motivation to serve the Lord is so anemic. Maybe it's because we've been resisting the trials that He sent into our life that would draw us closer to Him. A growing love, a greater longing. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Trials give us that greater anticipation of eternity, which is the end of our faith. You know, when a loved one passes away, heaven becomes a little sweeter, doesn't it? Read about a fellow, a preacher, who visited a young couple who just lost their baby. Really, it's hard to know what to say at that point. But God gave him some wisdom and he looked at the young couple and he said, I know it's a difficult thing, but heaven just got a little sweeter, didn't it? Yeah. A greater longing for heaven. Our trials make us want to get out of this world, don't it? Huh? Do you ever get in a trial and you just found yourself saying, Lord, why don't you just come right now? Get me out of this mess. And then the partnership of representation in trials. Listen, as believers, Peter says in his epistle, we're to be followers of Christ. We're to imitate Christ. How do we do that? We grow in His grace and our knowledge of Him. Every day of our life is to be a growing experience, a day of maturing in the Lord, bringing us to be more like Him. Now, listen, we can't identify with Christ in His perfection. We'll never be exactly like Him till we get to glory. And we can't identify really with His power. We'll never have all the power He had. But we should follow Him and seek to become more like Him. Peter talks about the prophetic search here. Verses 10 and 11. What Peter's talking about here, if you don't understand, he's talking about that the prophets for many centuries had talked about the promised Messiah. For many centuries, they believed there was one coming. They had great faith, and they possessed this faith in order to believe something that was still future. Look at us today. We have a great advantage because we can put our faith in that which has already come. Have you ever thought about those Old Testament prophets who talked about the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah? They never got to see Him. We have. He's come. We have the testimony of His coming. How shameful it is to think that multitudes believe the promises of God simply because God stated them. And yet here we are, we read the historical record of what God's done, and we have trouble believing Him. We read God's Word, we find the promises, but sometimes we have trouble believing them. We lack faith. Sometimes we're skeptical. We think that somehow, some way, somehow God is one day going to let us down. He never will. David said this, I've been young and now I'm old. I can identify with that. But he said this, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what David's saying? God is always faithful. Hey, a lot of people let you down. How many of you ever been let down by somebody? Disappointed? God will never do that. Whatever He promises, He'll deliver. Whatever He says, He'll keep. And then we see a profound suffering. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. How in the world do we talk about we're suffering? That we're suffering for Christ when we think about what He suffered for us. You've been beaten with a cat of nine tails? Have you been buffeted and nailed to a cross and hung up in the sun? No. Jesus was. He suffered for us. Nothing that we endure in our trials could come close to comparing to what He endured. And yet we're supposed to identify with the sufferings of Christ. We don't have time to go there, but Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, and Isaiah 53, verses 4 through, 7 or 8, talk about His suffering. You know, next time you feel like, oh, I just need to complain. This is a hard place. Stop and think about what he went through. And then notice a partner of self-denial. Verse 12. Unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Are we willing to partner with Christ in the suffering? Are we really? It's a fact. But are we willing to go through it and just say, Lord, just be glorified in it? Or when the suffering comes, do we want to kick and fight and scream and carry on like a kid having a temper tantrum? I had to chuckle the other day. I don't know where I was. A woman was talking to I guess it's her daughter, on the phone. And I heard her say this. Well, just let him kick and scream. He'll get over it. And I kind of looked at her. And she said, I'm telling my daughter how to handle a temper tantrum. I thought, yes. You know, when they fall down and kick and scream and I hold my breath till I turn blue, let them. But see, so often we have temper tantrums. We don't like what God's doing in our lives, so what do? We kick and scream. Why don't we just get the spirit and the attitude, I am willing to suffer for Christ and with Christ. That's where we need to be. Partnering in self-denial. Somebody said this, we want a crown one day, but we're unwilling to bear the cross of suffering. We want easy lives here and still be rewarded at the judgment seat. It doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. We have nothing in which to glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. I found this, when we have nothing left but God, we discover God is enough. When we have nothing left but God, we discover He is sufficient for my need. Well, we go through the trials, we go through the tribulations, but there's a purpose in it all, and we have a power given to us that keeps us in our trials and our tribulations. He's there with us. He's taking care of us. He will see us through to the other side. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what He's done for us. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that you send our way to make us more like Jesus. We don't like them. And you know, in our flesh, we wish we could go through life and never have another trial, tribulation, or difficulty, or hurt, or heartache. But we know by the teaching of your word that these are opportunities for us to grow. Help us to yield ourselves. Help us to let you do in our heart, in our life, what needs to be done. Help us to endure the trials and tribulations with the right spirit and the right heart. And just trust you. Trust that you're working something in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.